Y'all sound like you're bored about the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Y'all need to get your fire lit or something. You're going to be in trouble this morning. If your wood's wet, it ain't going to stay that way long. Because we're going to have some fun this morning, y'all. Brace yourselves. My wife's not here. She didn't tell me to behave myself, so. I hope not. Because she's probably behind the wheel of a car right now. I hope she's not watching. Well, if you've not figured out where to go to in your Bible, we are going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Amazing. First of all, it's printed in the bulletin. And second of all, it's on your acorn. So if you didn't get an acorn, that means you were late to church today. Really late. But we've got one for you, so don't go home without an acorn. I got some extras. There is something within us that seems to resist being thankful. You know, when we were little, mom would crack the whip on us, you know. She'd be like, now, say thank you. Say thank you. And then we grew up, and then we didn't do it anymore. You know, I could ask some people who work in the restaurant business and say, how many people actually say thank you? We don't do it real easy. It's something that kind of we get stuck on at some point in our journey. And I think it's the same is true when it comes to being thankful to God for all that he has done. Now, if you are using one of our Bibles that are in the chairs around you, you can find it on page 373 and 374. It's split up. If you're using an electronic version and want to read exactly what I'm reading, I'm using a New American Standard. So you're welcome to do that as well. Y'all, I was really disappointed. We got a teaser of snow. I was so hopeful. And what we got was nowhere near enough. All I said was, when I saw it melting.
Make a couple snowballs with it before it melted.
You should have gone to Cleveland. Is what you
did. I would love to have gone. No, I wouldn't want to. Cleveland's the armpit of Ohio. I'm not doing that. Sorry, Mallory. You're too close. Grew up in Ohio. They probably say the same thing about my area, too. I don't know. But I don't know if you checked the forecast for this week yet. Maybe you got on the Weather Channel, or you got on Trib, or WTAE, or maybe Ray Petterlin's magnificent maps that you're just fascinated with, these big words like intrusing isobars. What the world is an isobar? These meteorologists use big language so they can get by with lying to us. That's what they do. Well, I have a forecast for you for this coming Thanksgiving Day. Turkeys will fall in the morning, then warm in the oven to an afternoon high near 190 degrees. The kitchen will turn hot and humid, and if you bother the cook, be ready for a severe squall or a cold shoulder. During the late afternoon and evening, the cold front of a knife will slice through the turkey, causing an accumulation of 1 or 2 inches on plates. Mashed potatoes will drift across one side, while cranberry sauce creates slippery spots on the other. A weight watch and indigestion warning have been issued for the entire area, with increased stuffiness around the beltway. During the evening, the turkey will diminish and taper off to leftovers, dropping to a low 34 degrees in the refrigerator. Looking ahead to Friday and Saturday, high pressure to eat sandwiches will be established. Flurries of leftovers could be expected on both days, with a 50% chance of scattered soup late in the day. By early next week, eating pressure will be low, as the only wish left will be the bone. There you go. There's your Thanksgiving forecast. I think I make copies. I can do that, but I have it. Well, we can actually forecast our future faithfulness based on whether we gravitate towards grumbling or we're growing in gratitude. It affects your faithfulness. And we don't think about that. But it does. We're faced with a dilemma because most of us If we're honest, now we all lie to ourselves and to each other, we're natural born grumblers. You know, the wives all understand what I just said because they hear it all the time. You know, the husband, whatever, you fix that, but we haven't had it again. Or if you have teenagers, you hear it in more audible senses.
Whatever.
That word too. We find some people that are year-round residents at quote-unquote camp complaining. You know, that's just their natural, seems to be natural bent. Many of us whine and complain more than worship. We tell people what's wrong instead of thanking them for what's right. And we gripe a whole lot more than we express gratitude. So we are in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and 1 Chronicles explains historical events to set a record for families as they're going back into the promised land. This passage actually has a ton of parallels within it. Yeah, it didn't get in there, I don't think. It's in the wrong one. Would you look and see? There's a chart that has like Psalms and Chronicles in it. I must have uploaded the wrong one, but oh well. Listen close. Ah, there it is. Thank you. I must have skipped over it. This is what you'll see. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 has parallels in Psalm 105, Psalm 96, and 106. So there's your homework. Write it down quick. It's not staying there real long. You can go get out your phone, take a picture. That's your homework. You got to read those Psalms to keep up with what's going on in 1 Chronicles. Now, this hymn of thanksgiving is actually much of a compilation of things, and I think David must have excerpted parts from poetry woven together with history as he did commonly. And we had this beautiful picture. There's a parallel account to this in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And basically, the Chronicles describing the successful conclusion of the task of restoring the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God's presence. And when the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there, there was a sense that God's presence was not around. And can you imagine feeling? I don't think you need to imagine. We've all been there where we feel like God's presence is far away. Whether it's a period of sinfulness in our lives or just trials and testings. David is involved in presenting burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God, and he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He presents them with gifts, a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each. Some people think that, some translators translate the Hebrew that says cake of dates to be a portion or even a portion of meat. The Levitical patterns are set out as we read through this passage until the temple has been dedicated. The sacrificial aspects of Israel's worship are confined to this altar that is in Gibeon at this point. And the passage before us tells us the Levites performed restricted duties. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, it is brought back to the center. The presence of God is brought back to the focus, and that's part of what we want to do this morning. To get our focus back on the Lord and off of our stuff that's around us. So as we get into this, we're going to break it up and we're going to see that I think David puts a worship team together and they help the people do two or three things. Well, three things according to my outline. They start with praying together. I might back up a little bit. You're just going to have to ignore because I put it in there wrong. We find a lot of things going on, this opening section. There's a triple reference to God in verses 10 and 11. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face. We have this emphasis, this triple emphasis. It's referring to a dependent attitude, but also an expectant attitude. When's the last time you honestly came to church and expected God to do something? Ooh, that got quiet really fast. You know, we get all excited when something happens. When somebody comes to faith in Jesus, we get all excited, and we should. Somebody wants to be baptized, we get excited. But we should come in this place every week expecting God to do something. See, the problem is you're expecting to do it in somebody else. In the meantime, he's waiting on you to wake up because he wants to do something in you, in me. It's not that way. It's this way. And so as you're going through this, we're going to be all over the place. If you drop down to verse 35 in this passage, then say, "Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your presence." This is talking about Israel, but what about us? We just think Jesus is coming soon. How longing are we to say, "Man, I can't wait for Jesus to come back." Well, about half of you are excited about Jesus coming back. Either the altar is going to be full or y'all going to wake up before this is over with. I'm not kidding. We're going to have some fun today. We are. Because there is so much excitement going on in here. Look at verse 4. This is David. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank God and to praise the Lord. Asaph, who was a choir director, he's mentioned in many of the Psalms. The chief and second to him, Zechariah, then Jael. No, I'm not going to go through all of those names. But look, they were playing with something other than a piano and organ. They had musical instruments. They had harps and lyres. And Asaph got out the big cymbals and played on, it says. Got out the loud sounding cymbals. They was loud in church. Yeah, imagine that. People actually were having fun in the presence of God. Well, they move from that section into a section of praise, and this is kind of where the Psalms breaks in. We are going to work our way through. Some of you looked on the back page and you went, "Ain't no way he's getting through all those lines." Just watch me. That's all I'm going to say to that. Well, let's break it down. Verse 8. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." This word that we want to use is this word cast. This giving thanks to the Lord, it means to throw out and leave your hands open. Did you catch that? Throw it out and leave your hand open. Cast all my cares upon you. Why? Because I'm going to give you thanks for what you put in my hand afterwards. There's an open-handedness. There are many meanings within this. It's the idea is we're pitching praises to Jesus. We're throwing out the fastballs to Jesus, lifting him up, exalting his name, praising him and glorifying him. Learning to throw out thanksgiving. We're going to do that through the service today, but we're also going to do it on Wednesday night. We're just going to pitch out praises all Wednesday night. And we're going to do it together because you may not have anything to thank God for, but somebody next to you might, and it'll remind you of what you did have that you thought you didn't. Did you follow that? Because that's important to follow, by the way. If you come because you think you don't have anything to thank God for, you'll hear somebody next to you thanking God, and then you'll remember something you forgot to thank God for because they pointed something out that God was, they were thankful for in their life. It's going to work. We need to understand that there was a time that every person by the age of 8 or 10 years old knew something about the person of God. They had an idea of who he was. The Bible was removed from the schools, pulled out of many pulpits, and replaced with a bunch of storytellers. People who couldn't find their way to the book of Revelation if they tried to. They got lost somewhere in Genesis and thought that was all they needed. But I want to go through some things this morning. I want to remind you of a few things about God. And this should wake you up. Now, I know that this is a Baptist church. And I know that some of y'all think you aren't allowed to respond. I'm giving you permission today to respond. Because if you don't, I'm going to make you do it anyway. So some of y'all quiet people, you're about to be scared to death. And if this is your first time in church, we love you, but we are weird around here. Because I'm leading it. I'm the king weird. You're like, that's why we've got an acorn in our pocket, right? Yep, that's right. Think about this. Everything about God is perfect. One more time. Everything about God is perfect. He has a perfect nature. He never has to work at, he never has to concentrate on doing things that are right. It's just who he is. Man's nature is to what? Do things wrong. When man allows his nature to control and we are in charge, what do? We end up lost. Like a person without a GPS or a person with a GPS that argues that the GPS doesn't know where it's going, I do. Some of y'all just looked at your husbands and that was funny. That's all I'm going to say. Some of y'all looked over and went, mm-hmm, yeah, listen, that one's for you, honey. But I want you to understand, God will do nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. He's never exaggerated. He's never been challenged. He's never been weary. He's never been sleepy. He's never had to correct a mistake. He's never had to apologize. He's never been absent. He's never been late. He's never been partial or proud. He has never been an afterthought. He's never been sick. He's never been frustrated. He's never been confused. He has never had to apologize. And the rest of you got to wake up. Because if you don't, I'm going to have a fit up here and you're going to wonder what happened to me. We normally give God credit for his goodness when he's being good to us. That's when we want to thank God. Well, God's been good, so now I can, I don't even know why I bothered putting this thing on. It's hot. Whew. You like to thank God when you get something. But how about just thanking God because he is? He is. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the one who is, was, and is to come. He's a shepherd. He's our fortress. He's our shield. He's our high tower. He's our strength. He's our redeemer. He's our deliverer. And about three of you are still wondering what on earth I'm doing. Everything about God. There is actually not sufficient enough vocabulary to be able to describe who God is. We have scripture, and that helps us, because that's what I was just rattling off, by the way. Those weren't coming out of this head. They were coming out of this book. They're his descriptions. His good. He is good whether he does anything for me or not. He's still good. If he chooses to let me go through the valley, he's still good. If he chooses to deliver me, he's good. If he chooses to carry me through, he's still good. His goodness is based on who he is, not what he does. God is light. God is love. He is just. He is holy. He is gracious. He is divine. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. He is loving and caring. He is vengeful. He is rewarding. And he's all these things and so, so much more. And yet we say, I just don't have anything to be thankful for. Got nothing. Because you just don't know how bad it is right now. Now, I want to speak to that for just a second. I understand what it's like to go through rough stuff. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt and burned it. It's hard some days. There are days that you are wondering why you got out of bed. There are times when you are wondering if God is even real. There are times when the tears are flowing and you can't stop them. There is time when the silence in your life is crushing you down. And here's the good news. God is right there. Right where you're at. And one of the best things that you can learn to do, and I say learn because I'm learning, is learn to thank God anyway. Try this one on. You got that surprise bill? You know that one that you don't have the money for? and you say, if this is how God wants to spend my money, it's okay. It's hard. If you trip and fall, the first thought that comes to your mind is, well, thank you, Jesus, that I fell down. You have to practice it. You have to learn to throw these praises. We could thank Him for providing the Word of God that we might know the truth. We should thank Him for sending the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and bring us to Christ. We should thank Him for giving us an assurance of salvation and daily victory. Not only do we need to cast, but we also need to cry out. This is the word call. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name. Cry out. We can rightfully ask God for many things, and I know God wants to meet our needs. And I know that's hard sometimes because it feels like He doesn't. But I think that there are some things that we need to learn to ask for that the need is greater than what we think our need is. There's a need for people to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because they're going to hell all around us. And some of them we love deeply. And some of them we just met. There is a need for us to want to see more laborers go into the field, to send more missionaries where God has called them to go, going to the uttermost. We can't all go, but we can make sure they can get there. And we can pray for them while they're there. We celebrated Ron Forsman's life yesterday, his memorial service. And one thing that I was very confident of is he prayed for our missionaries faithfully. I said it yesterday, let me say it again. He prayed for them by name. He knew their kids' names and he knew what was going on in their worlds. And he prayed for them. May we learn from Ron about praying for those who are in that field. We need to be praying that there are pastors and elders in churches around the United States who will start boldly preaching the Word of God without compromise. To give up on all this political garbage and get back to the Word of God. To give up on all this hyper weird stuff. Give it to God and He'll give you something. Blech. That's not how God works. This isn't a cash registry, y'all. Well, God wants everybody to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. No, that's what you want. What God may want is for you to be sick, to be poor, and to be simple. Well, that ain't fair. God's not fair. God's just. And whatever circumstance you are in, He has you there for a reason. And I don't like it sometimes. And that's okay. Because He knows you don't like it. So why not talk to Him about it? David did. David complained all the time. We read the Psalms. How long are you going to wait, God? How much longer do I have to put up with this? How long are my enemies going to get all the money and I'm going to get nothing? Why am I all alone? Why am I broken down? Why? I mean, you said, but we can't pray like that to God. You're thinking it, aren't you? You think God doesn't know your thoughts? One of the best things that I would love to impart to people, I do it all the time in counseling, and I hear people over and over again say, I never thought of that way, and it blows my mind. Just talk to God like what's going on in your head. We can't talk like that. We've got to be thou, dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, howeth, beeth thy name, the nameth. And we got to have all these frilly words and fancy statements. God wants your heart. He doesn't want your words. We're supposed to worship the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all everything about us. He said, well, it's not very worshipful to ask God why. Have you read the Psalms, y'all? Have you read David? Call out to Him. Call out that God's people would be doers of the Word and not just hearers only, as James 1:22 says. The next phrase is to make known, and I use the word communicate. You say, are you going to be alliterative all the way down through your... Well, about 75%, and then we're going to change the letter. What we're going to communicate. Specifically, we need to be thanking God and take the gospel to the whole globe. We need to make known what God is doing. Make known the mercy he's shown to us. Make known the goodness he's given to us. See, we love to complain. We love to gripe. But the world needs you to say, God is good even though my life stinks. The world needs to hear that. Fact is, the person sitting next to you needs to hear it. Because we're all going through it. That's called life. Go back in your mind to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. After telling her, you're right, that one's not your husband, you've got several others, and you're not even married to the one you're with. After communicating her radical sinful condition, after giving her radical water of life, what does she do? So the woman left her water pot. She forgot to fill her water jug up. See, she didn't need to fill her water jug up with water because her soul was filled up with Jesus. And she left her water pot and she went to the city and said to the man, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Whoa, he did he? I bet he said a few things about what you've done. We know what you've done too. And she says, is he not truly the Christ? Isn't he the Messiah? And they went out of the city and they were coming to him in droves. Not because of the sin she had committed, but because of the Savior she met. You and I have got to communicate the goodness of God in our salvation everywhere we go. We're afraid to talk about it because we're afraid somebody might not like it. I got news for you. Those kind of people get out of bed not liking you, so you might as well give them a reason. Our people just get out of bed, just don't like anybody. I don't know what their problem is. You got a few people on your list too, so don't be mean to them. But they need us. Titus chapter 3, he saved us not on the basis of our deeds, which we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, who he poured on us richly through Christ Jesus, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And if you've got the hope of eternal life, wouldn't you want to talk about it to somebody?
My back hurts today and my feet hurts today and my head hurts today, and my stomach is upset, and oh, by the way, I'm going to heaven when I die.
That's the last thing we say, not the first thing we say. Mark chapter 5, is as Jesus is getting on the boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed was begging him, let me go with you. What did Jesus tell him to do? Come on, I want you to stick around with me. No, he said, go home to your people and report to them the great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And what you and I need to do is go home. Get out there in the world and tell the people the great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. Make known his deliverance from the evil one. You don't even have a clue how much God has protected you from already today. God and his armies have been commissioned to protect, to provide, to defend on your behalf. And you say, but you don't understand, some of them are getting through. Yeah, some of them do, and those are the ones that God wants to get to you. You say, well, that's not kind of cool. That's not really fair that some of those bad guys get through. Listen, if God could get your attention any other way, he would. Sometimes the only way we'll listen is when we're going through it. How many times have I seen throughout my ministry where people call the pastor when life has fallen apart? Now, don't get me wrong. I love those opportunities. I love those chances. But some of them hadn't thought about God since they were in Sunday school as a kid. Some hadn't just, they've lived their life the way they wanted to. And so God has allowed them, if you will, Romans, gave them over to their sinfulness until they would come to the end of themselves. Why? So he could pour mercy. So he could pour grace. So whatever God lets through the front line to get to you, He's got a cup of mercy and grace waiting when we learn what we need to learn. We also need to contemplate. Verse 9, sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts. This idea of telling has the idea of pondering, to contemplate, to mull it over. My mind went to the song. I think we've sung it here a couple times. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about the things He's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about His love. Think about it. Contemplate it. Tell of all His wondrous works. Focus on what God, who God is, and the actions He does. Think about Him in the middle of whatever you're going through. Because He's the only one big enough to help. You can arm wrestle with God all you want. Preached a sermon years ago, your arm is too short to box with God. Talking about Jacob wrestling with the angel. I told you we're going to get there. Verse 10, celebrate. Glory, glory, glory. Let those hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. This idea is to shine, to boast, to rave, to revel, to enjoy, to celebrate. See, part of the reason we're not reaching the world around us is we're too dim. We've covered up our light with our struggles. We've covered up our life with our problems. We've covered up our life with the complaints that we have. And what the world needs is to see. We said, shine, Jesus, shine. And He's trying, but you keep covering it up. Celebrate. Throw off the covers. Throw off the problems. Be boastful. This word has involved in it. The Septuagint translates this word doxa later. It is glorying that has to do with the greatness and majesty of God. How well do y'all do at describing the greatness and majesty of God? Well, you know, Pastor, I was raised a certain way. You might have been raised wrong. Because once you get a vision and a view of God's majesty and His glory, you'll never get over it. And you'll be singing, how great is our God, how great thou art. And you'll be singing all the way through your struggle. He says, let the heart of those who seek Him be glad, to rejoice, to brighten up, to cheer. Do you remember when you were in school? Maybe y'all didn't do this, and I went to a weird school, but that's probably true too. You had Spirit Week at school. One side says, we got Spirit. Yes, we do. We got Spirit. How about you? And the other side says, we got Spirit. Yes. And this was like this. It was a shouting match to see who had more Spirit. Y'all, we need a spiritual shouting match. We need a spiritual cheering match, where we're literally trying to outdo the other person, talking about how good God is, talking about how wonderful He is, talking about gratitude for what He is getting me through. You say, Pastor, I just don't feel it. Listen to me. It's a fact. Don't trust your feelings. They're unreliable. You get up and you feel what, you know, I give you a perfect illustration. This is a bad illustration, but it's a perfect one. Trying to figure out who I'm going to pick on. I'll just make it generic. I tell everybody when I'm doing premarital counseling that you aren't always going to feel like you love your mate. The first time he or she has got her head stuck in the toilet and raffling up whatever she had or whatever she's got, and she's just, you know, letting it all loose, and you look over at her, your first feeling is not going to be, oh, I just love that woman. When you get up in the morning and he rolls over and says, good morning, and you go, oh, go brush your teeth. You don't feel so in love in that moment. There's plenty of things in life that adjust our feelings. But if you really want to adjust your feelings, start cheering the goodness of God. Start cheering out what God has done. And in the midst of your feelings, you start declaring the fact that God is good even if I don't feel like He is. And you start proclaiming that and you start living it and letting it get into your everyday life. It will change your faithfulness if you learn to be thankful. Well, then he says to, see, I told you he's going to change the letter. Bad of me, right? Verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face to continue. It means to glance at, to look at, to search out. In the Hebrew text, there's a kind of a progression of intensity in this verse. To look at it and then look at it again and look. You ever thought about something? The more you look at God, the better He looks. Because your problems fade away. Remember the old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of earth will grow, what, strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We need to see Him. James Cleveland wrote a spiritual years ago called Only a Look at Jesus. Love that song. Only a look of Jesus, O soul, bow down with care. He has promised to defend you. He will all your burdens share. Only a look can turn you away from sin. Only a look can bring you salvation, eternal life in Him. See, the problem with most of us is we're too busy looking at everybody else or at our problems to see Him, high and lifted up, and to worship Him. Sometimes our problems are getting in the way of seeing God for who He is. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Shove that cotton-picking problem out of the way so you can see Jesus. Pretend like you're at a concert and you really, really wanted to see. Now, some of y'all would never do anything like this, but I know some of you do. Don't you be acting all high and mighty on me. There's this artist that you really wanted to get a picture of, and you know your cell phone only has so much zoom, and you will... You'll do anything you can to get a picture of it. What about doing anything you can to get a look at Jesus? Looking over the problem. Get out of the way. I know you're a problem. I know you're trouble. I know you've got struggles. I know you've got problems. But I got to see Jesus. When you see Jesus, then you can get back to your problem and see it in the right perspective. When you see Jesus, you can get back to the person that's bothering you so much and learn to deal with them in the right way. We need to search Him out. To search Him out. That's that second part. Again, seek His face continually. Search for it. Get after it. Everything you can. Verse 12 is an interesting word. It says, remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and the judgments from His mouth. Now, normally we read judgment and we don't think good things. Remember has this idea of marking it. It means it leaves a stain. It leaves a stain on you. Have you ever gone through something? Anybody ever been through something? All right, the rest of you are lying. Because everybody in this room has been through something. And God brought you through. And it left a mark on you. It left a stain. It left a scar. There's plenty of things that do that throughout our experience in life. It's mile markers of what God has brought us through. You ever watch those mile markers on the side of the highway? Some of you kids don't even have a clue what they are. Those things with numbers on them on the highway, they actually mean something. And you start looking, I've only got this many more miles to go. I've only got this many more miles to go. You got up today, we're one day closer to seeing Jesus. You get up tomorrow, I'm one day closer to seeing Jesus. You get up the next day, I'm one day closer to seeing Jesus. Mark it in you. Build an altar. Sometimes altars are ugly things because they're places of sacrifice, but it is places of sacrifice where God accepts the sacrifice and brings healing into your soul. Brings light into your darkness. Drop down to verse 30 and 31. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. I use the word squirm because it means to twist or whirl or even writhe in pain type thing. Just squirming around in God's presence. God does not want us to be passive in our praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that was a good song. Oh, yeah, God did something good today. Y'all sound like you're 150 years old and you've never seen a day of joy in your life. You got to let it out. It'll hurt you. You keep that stuff inside you. It'll hurt you. You try to hold the glory of God down inside. Some of you do it. I'm not pointing any fingers. I heard Dave this morning. I'm not picking on the worship team because I love our worship teams. But Dave said, look up because your countenance matters. I'm up here. No, I'm not picking. I'm picking Annika's mic up, so this isn't fair. Annika was looking up. She was doing a good thing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I say, a wretch like me. I once was not. Now I'm.
You get that head up, and you squirm on the inside. Do you remember? Some of you all got kids like this. There, most of them are in the kids' church, but some of them are sitting next to you and you're married to them. You know, they couldn't sit still if you paid them to. That's me. I can't sit still. I'm over here clapping, raising my hand, enjoying work. I don't care what y'all are doing. It's just me and Jesus, and if you all want to stay out there and be bored, that's your problem, not mine. Because I squirm on the inside when I start thinking about all that God has done. Something on the inside just wriggles around and has to find a way out. Verse 31 is going to make all of y'all real uncomfortable. Because we in a Baptist church, and Baptists don't dance. Did I say that out loud? Most of Baptists don't know how to dance, but... Or when you do dance, everybody wonders what you're doing. You know. But the word here has an idea of spinning around with happiness. Spinning around. We go from squirming to spin. And we go from shaking on the inside to squirming to spinning on the outside. We shudder because of God's awesome power. We rejoice because we're not consumed. Do you realize you're in the presence of the living God this morning and you and I deserve to be consumed by His authority, consumed by His judgment, consumed by His fire. But thanks be to God who gave us the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. So when He looks at you, He doesn't see you. He sees the blood and He doesn't consume you. And if that don't fix you, you got a problem. I told you, you were in for something this morning. I wasn't sure what yet. I got to quit. I don't want to. Bob Coughlin is a writer with Sovereign Grace Music, writes a lot of good songs. And he has a really interesting quote on this, and it's going to make half y'all uncomfortable and the other half aren't going to be sure. Quote, our bodies naturally respond to what affects our souls. I open my arms wide as my daughter runs to greet me. I jump up off the couch with my hands in the air when my team scores the winning touchdown. I lunge when a glass of milk is about to be knocked over. I gratefully applaud heroic acts of unselfishness. I cry when my friend's child cries. No one has to teach us those responses. We do it. In a similar way, God-honoring expressiveness in corporate worship begins with clearly seeing the one that we worship. And it should affect every part of you. You say, Pastor, you want me to dance in church? No lewd dancing, no knocking anybody around. You say, now you're putting rules on it. Well, it's expressively, appropriately, okay? If you want to do it biblically, you're going to have to worship the men on this side and women on that side, and you're going to have to do a bunch of circles. That's all the descriptions of dancing in the Old Testament anyway.
What about David?
He was spinning. The word there was he was spinning around. But he, yeah, we won't talk about David. David got really excited. Y'all get that excited, we're going to cover you up. And just a word of warning. You can take your jacket off, you can take your tie off, but keep your shirt on, Pastor Steve. We're praying, we're praising, in verse 34, we're proclaiming, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Rudyard Kipling, who wrote The Jungle Book, had a fortune considerably in his time. A reporter came up to him once and said, Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word. The reporter reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill. Mr. Kipling, can you give me one of your $100 words? Kipling looked at the money, put it in his pocket, and said, thanks. Thanks is a $100 word. Thanks is a $1 million word. It's a little nut that falls on the ground that has to get carried away. See, if it stays next to the oak tree, it withers. It won't germinate while it's close to the oak tree. It has to go out. It has to have light. It has to have soil. It has to have a few squirrels come and chase it away to get it where it needs to go. It has to find the soil where it's planted, and then it begins to process. The outside of this has to fall off so the inside of it can come out. But yet, out of a little tiny acorn, we get majestic oak trees. And I want to tell you, if you will plant a seed of thanksgiving in your heart, you will learn to grow oak trees of gratitude and faithfulness to the living God. That's why you got an acorn. And that's why it says 1 Chronicles, don't say Corinthians. It says, I know my writing's not good. 1 Chronicles 16. So that when you're having a bad day, I want you to go back and look at your acorn that you set on your windowsill, or look at the acorn you... Maybe you need to carry acorn in your purse for a while, or put it in your pocket for a while. So that you go, oh, wait, 1 Chronicles 16, and remember some of the things we've talked about. Go back and read it again. The bottom line, it really doesn't matter what the forecast is going to be for Thanksgiving, whether it's fair or foul, no pun intended. But we can be grateful. Now, we're going to end the service a little bit different than what we sometimes do. Now, I need to say a few things. Just because we're ending it this way doesn't mean that if you've got some things you need to deal with God, that I won't be right here to help you. You need prayer for healing? We will do that. You need to find more about Jesus and you want to know him as Savior? You let us know that. We want to talk to you. If there's something you just need to talk to God about, you just let us know. We're happy to be with you. But what we're going to do is we're going to practice what we just preached. Now, we're going to sing. And y'all, I promise you, we will sing it again and again and again until we get it right. Don't doubt me. Don't doubt me. Now, and unless I'm reading this wrong, Pastor Steve, Dave, it says, rise up and praise him, right? Worship team, come on, find your spot. Our problem is we've got lead in our pants. All of our problems, all of our struggles are holding us down. And listen to me, a grateful heart can never be held back. It will grow an oak tree. It will fulfill its purpose in you. I just don't feel like being, do it anyway. Let your feelings catch up tomorrow, but enjoy it today.